Chapter 61. And put out my head hat, eh? My good friend, that is not mine. Mr. Pecksniff, I beg your pardon, but I think we have unintentionally made an exchange. Thank you. Well, sir, I was going to tell you apostrophe, we are quite ready, apostrophe interrupted Mold in a low voice. Ready, eh? Apostrophe apostrophe said the doctor. Very good, Mr. Pecksniff, I'll take an opportunity of relating the rest in the coach. It's rather curious. Ready, eh? No rain, I hope? Apostrophe, quite fair, sir, apostrophe returned Mold. I was afraid the ground would have been wet, apostrophe said the doctor, for my glass fell yesterday. We may congratulate ourselves upon our good fortune. Apostrophe but seeing by this time, that Mr. Jonas and Chuffy were going out at the door, he put a white pocket handkerchief to his face, as if a violent burst of grief had suddenly come upon him, and walked down side by side with Mr. Pecksniff. Mr. Mold and his men had not exaggerated the grandeur of the arrangements. They were splendid. The four hearse horses, especially, reared and pranced, and showed their highest action, as if they knew a man was dead, and triumphed in it. They break us, drive us, ride us, ill-treat, abuse, and maim us for their pleasure, but they die. Hurrah, they die. Apostrophe apostrophe, so through the narrow streets and winding city ways, went Anthony Chuzzlewit's funeral, Mr. Jonas glancing stealthily out of the coach window now and then, to observe its effect upon the crowd, Mr. Mold as he walked along, listening with a sober pride to the exclamations of the bystanders, the doctor whispering his story to Mr. Pecksniff, without appearing to come any nearer the end of it, and poor old Chuffy sobbing unregarded in a corner. But he had greatly scandalized Mr. Mold at an early stage of the ceremony, by carrying his handkerchief in his hat in a perfectly informal manner, and wiping his eyes with his knuckles. And as Mr. Mold himself had said already, his behavior was indecent, and quite unworthy of such an occasion, and he never ought to have been there. There he was, however. And in the churchyard there he was, also, conducting himself in a no less unbecoming manner, and leaning for support on Tacker, who plainly told him that he was fit for nothing better than a walking funeral. But Chuffy, heaven help him, heard no sound but the echoes, lingering in his own heart, of a voice forever silent. I loved him, apostrophe cried the old man, sinking down upon the grave when all was done. He was very good to me. Oh, my dear old friend and master. Apostrophe apostrophe, come, come, Mr. Chuffy, apostrophe said the doctor, this won't do. It's a clayey soil, Mr. Chuffy. You mustn't, really. Apostrophe, if it had been the commonest thing we do, and Mr. Chuffy had been a bearer, gentlemen, apostrophe said Mold, casting an imploring glance upon them, as he helped to raise him, he couldn't have gone on worse than this. Apostrophe, be a man, Mr. Chuffy, apostrophe said Pecksniff. Be a gentleman, Mr. Chuffy, apostrophe said Mold. Upon my word, my good friend, apostrophe murmured the doctor, in a tone of stately reproof, as he stepped up to the old man's side, this is worse than weakness. This is bad, selfish, very wrong, Mr. Chuffy. You should take example from others, my good sir. You forget that you were not connected by ties of blood with our deceased friend, and that he had a very near and very dear relation, Mr. Chuffy. Apostrophe, I, his own son. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the old man, clasping his hands with remarkable passion. His own, own, only son. Apostrophe, he's not right in his head, you know, apostrophe said Jonas, turning pale. You're not to mind anything he says. I shouldn't wonder if he was to talk some precious nonsense. But don't you mind him, any of you. I don't. My father left him to my charge, and whatever he says or does, that's enough. I'll take care of him. apostrophe, a hum of admiration rose from the mourners, including Mr. Mould and his merry men, at this new instance of magnanimity and kind feeling on the part of Jonas. But Chuffy put it to the test no farther. He said not a word more, and being left to himself for a little while, crept back again to the coach. It has been said that Mr. Jonas turned pale when the behavior of the old clerk attracted general attention. His discomposure, however, was but momentary, and he soon recovered. But these were not the only changes he had exhibited that day. The curious eyes of Mr. Pecksniff had observed that, as soon as they left the house upon their mournful errand, he began to mend, that as the ceremonies proceeded he gradually, by little and little, recovered his old condition, his old looks, his old bearing, his old agreeable characteristics of speech and manner, and became, in all respects, his old pleasant self. And now that they were seated in the coach on their return home, and more when they got there, and found the windows open, the light and air admitted, and all traces of the late event removed, he felt so well convinced that Jonas was again the Jonas he had known a week ago, and not the Jonas of the intervening time, that he voluntarily gave up his recently acquired power without one faint attempt to exercise it, and at once fell back into his former position of mild and deferential guest. Mrs. Gamp went home to the bird fancier's, and was knocked up again that very night for a birth of twins. Mr. Mould dined gaily in the bosom of his family, and passed the evening facetiously at his club. The hearse, after standing for a long time at the door of a roistering public house, repaired to its stables with the feathers inside and 12 red-nosed undertakers on the roof, each holding on by a dingy peg, to which, in times of state, a waving plume was fitted. The various trappings of sorrow were carefully laid by in presses for the next hire. The fiery steeds were quenched, and quiet in their stalls. The doctor got merry with wine at a wedding dinner, and forgot the middle of the story which had no end to it. The pageant of a few short hours ago was written nowhere half so legibly as in the undertaker's books. Not in the churchyard? Not even there. The gates were closed, the night was dark and wet, the rain fell silently, among the stagnant weeds and nettles. One new mound was there which had not been there last night. Time, burrowing like a mole below the ground, had marked his track, by throwing up another heap of earth. And that was all. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.